This is Healthline, a joint venture of WTIC News Talk 1080 and Yale Cancer Center. Yale Cancer Center is a resource for cancer programs throughout Connecticut, developing new advances in prevention, screening, diagnosis, and treatment. On Healthline, you'll hear from some of the leading doctors in the country. Healthline is not intended to provide medical advice. Yale Cancer Center urges you to consult with a qualified physician in your community for diagnosis and for answers to your medical questions. And now, our co-hosts, oncologists Ken Miller and Ed Chu.
Good morning and welcome to Healthline. My name is Dr. Ken Miller and I'm the director of the Survivorship Program at the Yale Cancer Center, New Haven. I'm here in the WTIC studios with my colleague and co-host, Dr. Ed Chu, who's the chief adult oncologist of the Yale Cancer Center. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Ken. Healthline with the Yale Cancer Center is our way of providing you with the most up-to-date information on cancer care every Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m. here on this station, WTIC News Talk 1080. Our Healthline program features some of the nation's leading oncologists and cancer specialists who are on the forefront of the battle to fight cancer right here in our state of Connecticut.
Each week, Ed and I are joined by a different expert from the Yale Cancer Center or elsewhere in Connecticut, and together we'll discuss the myths about cancer, the latest treatment available to patients with cancer, and advances in clinical research. Our goal is to give you help by sharing the latest information, but also to give you hope. And if you'd like to submit a question about cancer to Healthline, please email us at healthline@yale.edu, or you can call 1-888-234-4YCC. We'll try to answer your questions on the air today or in a future broadcast. And if you're interested in listening to past editions of Healthline, or if you'd like to learn more about a specific kind of cancer, all of our shows are now posted in audio and written format on the Yale Cancer Center website, which is www.yalecancercenter.org.
Today, our program focuses on the Connecticut Cancer Partnership. And our special guests are Dr. Andrew Sellner, director of the cancer program at Hartford Hospital and chair of the Connecticut Cancer Partnership, and Dr. Richard Edelson, director of the Yale Cancer Center. Andy and Rick, thanks so much for being with us today on Healthline.
Thank you. Pleasure to be with you.
Same here.
Andy, let's begin by talking a little bit about the Connecticut Cancer Partnership. Can you explain to us and to the audience what is the partnership and when was it formed?
Sure. The Connecticut Cancer Partnership is a coalition of now close to 300 individuals and organizations from around the state of Connecticut, all of whom have an interest and expertise in cancer. The partnership represents a diverse group of individuals and organizations who come from not-for-profit organizations, hospitals, cancer centers, not-for-profits, state departments, and survivorship coalitions from representing all the counties and cities of Connecticut. And this group was brought together back in 2002. Every state in the United States is now going through a comprehensive cancer control plan, which really helps states to proactively plan for strategies which will help reduce the burden of cancer on its citizens. We started this effort back in 2002 and brought together this group, which is ever growing, to try and help deal with what we feel is a rather significant burden of cancer on our state residents and see what we could do to help diminish that by proactively promoting programs which will prevent cancer or detect it early or help improve quality of life.
Now, Andy, how is the program funded? Are there funds from the state or from the federal government to kind of help underwrite some of the services that this program is offering?
Ed, both the state and the federal government are providing funding for this. It started really as an effort and continues to be an effort of the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, from the federal government. And they've provided us money for initially a planning grant in 2002. And for the first 3 years, we developed what we believe is a comprehensive roadmap for cancer control in the state. And thanks, I should say, to all of my colleagues here at Yale for really participating actively and providing very important input into that plan. In 2005, the CDC basically approved our plan and allowed us to move into implementation status. And that's where really the rubber meets the road, because our effort is now to take what we've planned and put it to good use. And that funding, therefore, continues to come from the CDC. But that funding really only covers the administrative aspects of the of this effort. In order to actually make programs happen, we really need funding from the state and from other granting authorities, whether it's private or public foundations, from both within the state and without, to help make these programs possible.
And just in terms of, as I understand, there were five founding members or partners within this partnership?
Yes, the five founding members of the Connecticut Cancer Partnership are the American Cancer Society, the Connecticut State Medical Society, Connecticut's Department of Public Health, the Yale Cancer Center, and the UConn Health Center.
Hmm. Great. And Rick, as you're the director of the Yale Cancer Center, you know, what are your views and thoughts on this program?
First, I really, on behalf of the Yale Cancer Center, want to congratulate Andy and his colleagues in the Connecticut Cancer Partnership for all of the effort and tremendous progress you've made in putting together a plan that has tremendous potential impact for the citizens of Connecticut. And of course, we pledge, as we have, the Yale Cancer Center's full cooperation in all of the programs. We are particularly excited about three that have received, I think, the largest segment of funds allocation, which are the state clinical trials interactive program, which will be statewide, as we understand it, and also the efforts in prevention and control. So thank you, and we, as you know, we're really quite interested to see how this evolves.
Wonderful.
Andy, also, I'm saying congratulations too to going from the planning stage to the implementation. Let me ask you about prevention and early detection, because some of the greatest headway that we can make is finding cancer earlier or preventing it. Can you tell us a little bit about the prevention side of things?
Sure. Well, let me first say, if I may, that the plan is really divided up into the five continuum areas, starting with prevention, then early detection, then treatment, then survivorship, and then end of life and hospice care. And in prevention, and in each and every one of these areas, there's a separate committee in the partnership that's developed evidence-based strategies and priorities for developing high impact strategies that would, we hope, help to decrease the burden of cancer in our state. In the prevention realm, the few activities that really jump right out at us really relate to number one, tobacco, number two, physical activity, obesity, and nutrition, and number three, other environmental issues such as sun exposure. In the realm of tobacco, several years ago, based upon CDC guidelines, the state of Connecticut and its partners developed a state tobacco control plan, which would involve the investment of some money into helping to decrease the prevalence of tobacco use in the state, and therefore the incidence and mortality rate from cancer, because we know that 1/3 of cancer deaths are due to tobacco, and virtually 85 to 90% of lung cancer deaths, the biggest cancer killer, are due to tobacco use. And because even though the adult prevalence of tobacco use has been gradually going down in our state, now about 19%, the youth use of tobacco was actually increasing. And at that point, 5 years ago, it was actually 33%, a number we were very scared of. And so the concern was, how do we utilize educational and other efforts to try and decrease tobacco use? And it was a broad, comprehensive program that included strategies like smoke-free public places, which we now have, thank goodness. It involved counter-advertising, it involved educational programs, enforcement of sales to minors, and it involved cessation services. Well, we've come a fairly long way, even though up till this point, Connecticut is a woeful 47th in terms of use of master settlement agreement dollars and tobacco tax dollars for the purpose which the public really expects, according to polls we've done, that these dollars would be used for. And smoke-free public places and an increase in the tax in Connecticut have helped to reduce the prevalence of tobacco use, but we still have a long way to go, it's still a major killer. And unfortunately, an investment in tobacco cessation doesn't pay off right away. It pays off over years and even decades, because we won't see mortality rates go down until there's you know, a number of decades between which these non-smokers won't develop the cancer and die from it. And so, but it's a wonderful investment, not only related to cancer mortality, but also to diseases like heart, lung, and vascular disease. And so the program calls for a $2 million investment this year in tobacco cessation. And I should just step back and say that the state legislature in this past session, 2006, was most generous to us, and the governor supported that effort, in granting $6.7 million to the cancer control plan that the partnership has brought forward. $1.2 million of that is in breast and cervical cancer early detection program, $2 million for tobacco cessation. And our hope is that we'll utilize that to enhance the existing quit line, as well as to offer some additional services for selected populations of patients who are particularly at high risk.
Well, a few more things I want to talk about, because fascinating and wonderful to have those efforts in terms of obviously breast and cervical early detection, and a lot of the work done in prevention too, which, and your point is well taken about it, but we'll see the benefit in the next generation. I wanted to talk about some of the funding for clinical trials. I guess that approximately $1 million was allocated to the development of a statewide clinical trials network. What will that be all about, and how will Connecticut citizens have access to those types of trials throughout the state?
It's a really good question. As the members of the treatment committee grappled with what we could do to enhance treatment services and resources available in the state, what we quickly came to realize is that clinical trials in cancer care really are a good measure of excellence of care delivery, because they compare the best possible treatment available to something that's new and could be even better. We don't know yet until we try it in a clinical trial. And if you look at the major developments in cancer treatment that have occurred over the last couple decades, virtually every single one has resulted from a clinical trial. And the patients who participate in clinical trials are courageous, because they not only, we hope, benefit from the clinical trial, but subsequent generations of patients benefit as well. So the notion of this clinical trials effort is to make accessible and available to cancer providers in the state, as well as to patients in the state, clinical trials which otherwise might not be accessible because of geography and access and lack of participation in their local hospital.
Great. Why don't we, I think this is a very good time to maybe just take a quick break, and then at the next segment we can actually pick up on that, because I think obviously, you know, here at the Yale Cancer Center, we're very eager to work closely with you and your colleagues in developing this statewide network. So at this time, we'd like to remind you to email your questions to healthline@yale.edu or call 1-888-234-4YCC. We're going to take a short break for a medical minute. Please stay tuned to learn more information about cancer care in Connecticut with Dr. Andrew Sellner from Hartford Hospital and Dr. Richard Edelson from the Yale Cancer Center.
The American Cancer Society estimates that in 2006, over 11,000 people will be diagnosed with colorectal cancer in Connecticut alone. Early detection is key. When detected early, colorectal cancer is easily treated and highly curable. Men and women over the age of 50 should have regular colonoscopies to screen for the disease. Patients with colorectal cancer have more hope than ever before. Each day, more patients are surviving the disease due to increased access to advanced therapies and specialized care. New treatment options and surgical techniques are giving colorectal cancer survivors more hope than they've ever had before. Clinical trials are currently underway at Yale Cancer Center, Connecticut's only federally designated comprehensive cancer center, to test innovative new treatments for colorectal cancer. Patients enrolled in these trials are given access to newly available medicines which have not yet been approved by the Food and Drug Administration. This has been a Medical Minute, brought to you as a public service by Yale Cancer Center. For more information, visit our website at yalecancercenter.org.
Welcome back to Healthline. This is Dr. Ken Miller. I'm in the WTIC studios with my co-host, Dr. Ed Chu, and our guests, Dr. Andrew Sellner from Hartford Hospital and Dr. Richard Edelson from here at the Yale Cancer Center. Anyways, before we took the break, we were talking some about clinical trials, and so I wanted to, Rick and Andy, I wanted to ask you about, you know, what would be an ideal situation in terms of what we can accomplish together in research?
Well, I think this initial effort at clinical trials and developing a statewide network is really a pilot to see how we can, on a statewide basis, work collaboratively amongst all the cancer care professionals to develop some trials which might be of particular interest and meaning to our patients and their families, and also to develop a process that's doable, because many clinical trials are complex and may not be easily doable by every community center. Some of them need to be in major tertiary institutions where certain kinds of studies are done. But the idea is that every practitioner, even in a freestanding oncology office, might be able to access some trials for their patients.
Yeah, and obviously, I guess the thought is that this would be more in terms of therapeutic clinical trials, Andy, or kind of run the gamut of therapeutic and non-therapeutic?
I think we should be open, Ed, to sort of both, because we clearly could learn from a non-therapeutic trial, that is, learning something about the natural history of cancer or something specific about selected cancer sites. Treatment trials are, of course, of interest because patients are always looking to try and find the next cutting edge in care. And those who live close to one of the major cities in Connecticut may indeed have access to most of the treatment trials, but some people live a fair distance away and may not have that kind of access.
So, Andy, I wonder if you could help explain to our listeners how $1 million in support, which sounds like a very large number, but we all know how expensive these trials are, how it can be leveraged, and what kind of metric would allow us to judge, and the state to judge, at the end of that trial year, how much has truly been accomplished.
Yeah. Well, I'll give you my perspective, but certainly it's going to ultimately be up to the person or the group that is successful in developing this network and winning that kind of bid for that effort. My hope is that the initial year or so will at least develop the feasibility of a collaborative group of people working together and develop a strategy by which hospitals and other organizations can participate and receive appropriate kind of regulatory and approval processes which could work. So in a way, it's really setting up the framework of what we might do in the future. It may not be that in the first year we can get lots of trials out there, although my hope is that we'll at least be able to get one or two out there. But I think much of this upfront work is developmental so that we can make sure that all of this is done according to the appropriately developed regulatory needs of all of the organizations which participate.
My sense is there really is a great deal of enthusiasm and energy just in our speaking with, you know, a number of community oncology practices, even, you know, the different hospitals here in, you know, Southern Connecticut, Bridgeport Hospital, Greenwich Hospital, Danbury, Waterbury, you know, our own hospital, obviously, at Yale and St. Raphael's, in developing this kind of network and bring in really novel, innovative, you know, drugs and or treatment strategies that otherwise might not be available to the patients living here in Connecticut.
Yes, I couldn't agree more. And I think anything we can do to enhance our existing clinical trials effort and make it more accessible to centers which, because conducting clinical trials are expensive and some centers or hospitals or oncology offices can't really afford to do it, if we can make them more accessible and work collaboratively and bring the wisdom of all of us together, I think that will really help patients in the long haul, and that's what we're here for.
Well, we'd like to remind you to email your questions to healthline@yale.edu. We're going to take a short break to listen to a survivor's story, and please stay tuned to learn more information about cancer here in Connecticut with Dr. Andrew Sellner and Dr. Richard Edelson.
A few years ago, the diagnosis of cancer was a death sentence for many patients. But today, thanks to advances in clinical research, we're turning the corner in the battle against cancer. There are over 10 million cancer survivors now living in the U.S. They are the true heroes in the war against cancer. Here's the story of a hero from Milford.
My mother passed away last September after a recurrence of breast cancer. 3 weeks later, the results of an earlier biopsy came back as cancerous. Can you imagine my horror? My Yale-based gynecologist, Musa Spravanza, referred me to a wonderful surgeon at the Yale Breast Center, Donald Lannan. Dr. Spravanza moved quickly. She gave me the news of the diagnosis on a Thursday, and I had an appointment that Friday with Dr. Lannan. Sensing my distress and anxiety over the diagnosis, coupled with the recent death of my mother, Dr. Lannan also moved quickly to alleviate what fear he could and scheduled me for a lumpectomy that Monday. I was then introduced to my oncologist, Dr. Kenneth Miller at the Yale Cancer Center, and Dr. Joanne Wheathouse, who would become my radiation oncologist. I am fortunate. Dr. Miller and the wonderful nursing staff at the Yale Cancer Center got me through the entire ordeal, healthy, well, and feeling fabulous.
This survivor's story has been brought to you by Yale Cancer Center.
Welcome back to Healthline. This is Dr. Ken Miller, and I'm in the WTIC studios with my co-host, Dr. Ed Chu, and our guest, Dr. Andrew Selner from Hartford Hospital, and Dr. Richard Edelson from the Yale Cancer Center. Well, I'd like to welcome our audience back, and we're talking about the cancer control plan for Connecticut, cancer and the Connecticut Cancer Partnership. So, along those lines, what's on the horizon in terms of the other plans?
Well, of the funding that we've received this year, we have several other selected high-priority strategies that we're hoping that we can begin to roll out. In the realm of prevention, in addition to tobacco cessation we've discussed already, we're also talking about doing a pilot project looking at nutrition and physical activity education at the primary level. Our feeling is that there's an increasing amount of obesity in our kids, less physical activity than we'd like to see, and perhaps nutrition that may be not as optimal. And we do now have data to suggest that those patterns established as kids continue on into adulthood and significantly increase the risk of cancer. We've learned, for example, that people who are physically active and who maintain close to ideal body weight have a decreased risk of developing many different kinds of cancer. So the hope is that this pilot strategy will begin to allow us to develop a good curriculum for younger kids so that they can begin to establish habits that hopefully will carry them through life. In the realm of early detection, we've discussed already the fact that the Breast and Cervical Cancer Early Detection Program, the single comprehensive program throughout the state to screen underserved women for both breast and cervical cancer, needs to be enhanced. It's underfunded. Only about a third of the women who are candidates actually receive those free mammograms and pap smears. Those dollars will enhance that program. But we're also looking at colorectal cancer. We believe at least two-thirds of colorectal cancer deaths could be prevented if early detection would occur. And Dr. Chu, I know this is your particular specialty. And the idea is, for many of us who are insured, we have access to colonoscopy and colorectal screening of the entire colon. And we can do that every 10 years as recommended starting at age 50. For those people who are uninsured or underinsured, they really don't have access to colonoscopy, which is a rather expensive procedure. And the idea is, could we identify high-risk uninsured individuals who are served by federally qualified health centers in the state, who have either a family history of colorectal cancer or who have a positive fecal occult blood test, and offer them colonoscopy? Again, a pilot project to see if about $700,000 of investment could really pay dividends in terms of establishing a system of care for those individuals and really significantly impact colorectal cancer mortality. In the realm of survivorship, we're looking at developing a resource guide for survivors in the state, because as you understand now, the cutting crossing influence in all of these efforts that I'm talking about really relates to the fact that there are disparities in cancer care. There are people who are underserved in the state whose outcomes are not as good as many of ours. And we're trying to get at how we can decrease these disparities and ensure that everyone has equal access to all these services. And survivorship resources are indeed one set of resources that need to be made more available across the state.
Rick, maybe you can jump in here and tell our listeners out there what some of the initiatives that you've taken as director of the Cancer Center in terms of trying to eliminate racial disparities in terms of cancer care, which obviously is a key element to the whole cancer partnership program.
So one of the really exciting things that we see in this whole evolution that Andy's describing is that we now have highly developed programs in ending disparities, survivorship, in which there's now a statewide funding initiative through the Connecticut Challenge, and a very active program here, and of course a tremendous increase in the truly innovative clinical trials that are taking place that we really hope we can truly partner with you and your colleagues to build on these initiatives, because the danger, as we all know, would be that we have too many things happening independently. And so it would be wonderful if we can find ways to help amplify.
Yes. I mean, the old saying that each of us is just a drop of water, together we are an ocean. I mean, really, clearly, this effort only works if we can work together. And I think one of the unique aspects of the Connecticut Cancer Partnership is really for the first time we're attempting to bring together everyone who has an interest or is involved in cancer care or prevention from around the state. And we're always welcoming new volunteers. We welcome with open arms anybody who would like to participate. Please come to our website, www.ctcancerpartnership.org. And you'll see information on the partnership, on our plan, and on how to join us. We're very fortunate to have all of your experts, Rick, work with us. Many of our committees are chaired or co-chaired by Yale experts in each of these areas. And Yale, clearly, as the NCI-designated comprehensive cancer center in the state, plays a crucial role in making this whole thing move forward. So we're most appreciative of the volunteer time, because the partnership is all voluntary, of all of your clinicians and experts in helping to move our efforts forward. And I couldn't agree more. We need to do it together.
Well, if you have questions for Dr. Andrew Sellner or Dr. Richard Edelson or for Healthline, I encourage you to go to our website, yalecancercenter.org, for more information about cancer and the resources available to you. Before we sign off, Rick, I wanted to ask you, and then Andy, ask you, what would be the personal goals and wishes you'd have for the partnership as things move forward?
Well, clearly, all of the initiatives that Andy's describing have tremendous potential impact on the lives of the population that we serve, and so this is a wonderful step forward. We have been frustrated in each of our programs in the sense that our reach can only go so far. And the possibility of truly cooperating and developing together and seeing this really take off under your leadership statewide is truly exhilarating.
Well, I appreciate that. It's a big responsibility, and fortunately we have a wonderful group of devoted individuals who sit on the Connecticut Cancer Partnership Board, who are really devoted to making this happen. Obviously, we rely on the beneficence of the governor and the legislature to help make these programs happen, because actually, in a way, it's a terrific investment for them. It not only helps improve the quality of life and decreases mortality for state residents, but in the long haul, it actually saves money, because dollars are much better spent on prevention and early detection than they are on care for advanced cancer.
I'd like to thank Dr. Andrew Sellner, Dr. Richard Edelson for joining us on Healthline.
Yeah, Andy and Rick, thanks for being with us. And Andy, we really look forward to working closely with you as we move forward. And remember, tune into WTIC News Talk 1080 every Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m. for Healthline with the Yale Cancer Center. Our next program will feature Dr. Vincent DeVita, former director of the National Cancer Institute and former director of the Yale Cancer Center. And Vince will discuss the trends in cancer treatment. Until then, this is Dr. Ed Chu
and Dr. Ken Miller
from the Yale Cancer Center, wishing you a safe and healthy week.
You've been listening to Healthline, a joint venture of Yale Cancer Center and WTIC News Talk 1080. Join us next Sunday morning from 8:30 to 9 a.m. for another edition of Healthline on WTIC News Talk 1080.